Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There was a term that we used to use when when I was a good bit younger, I don't know, teenagers in the early 20s and that sort of stuff. And I think it might have been a bit of a colloquial term. I'm not even sure how it directly translates, but we'd say, stat is a vat. And it kind of means something like, I don't know, stop right now. Stop right now. Amen. I'm going to ask you some questions tonight. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I think we've heard this before. I'm going to keep preaching this message.
Preach it.
Until every single person in these islands and every single person that across the nations of the earth has an understanding that they have the authority to say, stat is a vat. Somebody help me, come on. What are we going to do? Stat is a vat. Sometimes it helps you get a different language, you know what I'm saying? Joe still remembers kind of Qualisha Howe. Even in his Leicester, Birmingham accent. Kind of Qualisha Howe. Stat is a vat. Even Mary can do it with a Manchester accent. Hallelujah. Do you believe that you can have a sin-proof heart? Do you believe you can have a sickness-proof body?
Yes.
Do you believe you can have a depression and oppression-proof mind? Do you believe that you can actually have recession-proof finances,
yes,
a divorce-proof marriage,
yes,
strife-proof relationships,
yes,
and ultimately that you can have a death-proof life?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Thank God we're in the company of believers tonight, because if you don't, it makes a nonsense of the statement that Jesus made in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, when he said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to keep preaching this until everybody's got it, so that nothing will by any means hurt them anymore, because they know they've got the authority to say, stat is a vat. Stop right now. I ain't putting up with you for a moment longer. You've come this far and you're coming no further. People say me before, are you denying the existence of sickness? I said, no, but I'm denying it the right to exist in my life.
Amen.
You'd have to be a fool to deny the existence of sickness. It's all around. It's everywhere. Stat is a vat. In the Amplified Bible, it puts it this way. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. I mean, listen to the language, it's simple. Nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
So that means nothing. Not anything. Shall in any way. There's no way that it can harm you anymore. What can? Anything. Nothing can. Nothing. There's nothing that can harm you if you recognize that you've been given authority.
Yeah.
To say, stat is a vat. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you've got to ask yourself, is sin hurting me? Is sickness hurting me? Let's be honest. You can be honest and say, yeah, sickness is hurting me. Well, Jesus said it can't hurt me anymore. So what am I going to do with that? Are depression and oppression hurting us? Are we hurting financially? Is our marriage hurting? Is there pain in our relationships? Do you think of somebody and, ooh, just a sharp pain goes through you when you just think about that person? Well, Jesus said, shouldn't be that way anymore. Amen. We've been given authority to bless even those who curse us. We've been given the authority to love our enemies. That's why we need his anointing. Because human flesh doesn't love their enemies. But the anointing is God's ability on human flesh, enabling that human flesh to do what it could never have done on its own. Hallelujah. I can't stand here tonight and say, I can do all things. But I can say I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me. Hallelujah. You know, someone said to me a while back, they said, you know, You just got to acknowledge, you got to recognize bad things happen to good people now. Maybe you've said it yourself. Maybe you've thought it. And you know what? You can't deny that. Because we see it all the time. We see bad things happening to good people. So, we can't deny it, but I want to tell you something. We must get beyond it.
That's
right. We have to get over it. Otherwise, Jesus was just having us on. Remember what I said in Luke 10:19? I was only joking. I was only pretending. Yeah. You didn't believe that, did you? He's never going to say that.
That's right.
He's never, ever going to say that. If he said what he said, then he meant what he said. Right. And he placed the ball very firmly in our court. He said, I've given all, in fact, at the end of Matthew, he says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, therefore you go. What's he telling them? The authority that's been given to me, I'm giving it to you. Now you go into all the world. Preach this good news. Baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Tell them that there's nothing that can by any means harm them any longer. Mm-hmm. Now you might not have heard that in Sunday school. You might not have heard that in Bible class. You might never have heard that in church, but that's still the truth. Straight from the lips of Jesus. Religion might have programmed you very, very differently, but it's still exactly what he said. And it can't be misconstrued. It's simple. It's pretty basic stuff. If we are born again, if we are born from above, and Jesus said you must be born from above, if you're going to understand these things, if you're going to experience God's heart, God's plan for your life, you must be born from above. Because you were born the first time with the nature of the man of the dust. Mm-hmm. From dust he came and from dust to dust he will return. But you weren't born second time according to the nature of the man of the dust. You were born with the nature of the heavenly man. You were born from above. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. If we are born from above, and according to Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Because all of the hurting, all of the harming comes according to the law of sin and death.
Yes.
But Jesus said, I give you authority. The Greek word is exousia. In the King James Version, it translates that power. He says, I give you authority over all the power. And the Greek word there for power is actually dunamis. Which is the same word that Jesus said, you will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, locally, regionally, cross-culturally, internationally, everywhere you go, hallelujah, you will be a witness to me. You tell people God loves you and God's ready to prove his love to you. And I've got a message for you. Jesus said that you can have authority so that nothing, not anything, not absolutely nothing from now on can harm you. If you'll just accept that he's given you that authority and exercise that authority. Yes. Stat is a fact. Somebody help me. Stat is a fact. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I give you authority. He was saying this, I've lifted you above and I've set you over all the power of the enemy. You've lived enough of your life under his control. Paul put it this way. He said, there's people who are led captive by the devil to do his will, to be a fulfillment of his will. Now, Jesus told us what his will is. His will is always to steal, to kill. He said he only ever comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He never comes. People say, oh, the devil looks after his own. That's that nonsense. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen the people the devil's looking after?
Right.
Have you ever seen the mess that their lives are in? You don't look at the cars they're driving. You don't look at the houses that they live in. You look at everything else. And it's all falling apart. It's a mess. It's a disaster. Why? Because the devil doesn't look after anybody. He only ever comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've lifted you up and I've lifted you above and I've set you over all the power of the enemy. And that's why we must get over the things that are hurting us. Turn that person next to you, get over it. You know what I mean? We're talking about encouraging one another, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9 says this, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around He's a sneaky devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to chew up and spit out, someone to devour. But it says, stand firm against him. Stat! As a bat. I recognize you. As soon as you recognize something coming to your life that's stealing, something that's been stolen, you just say, stop! No more. Stat! As a bat. Yeah, some, come on, you should be working with me a minute. Stat! It's a bat! It's gone right out. The devil's like a dog. You know, some dogs only understand Gaelic, you know what I mean? I don't know, even if I'm in the mainland and a dog comes and I say, lass yes! And it lies down. He understands Gaelic, no boy. It's amazing. I'd be fat. Go to another country and a dog comes and tries to jump you. Watch it! Flies do. Fascinating. Stat is a bat. Glory to God. Stand firm against him, it says, and be strong in your faith. Resist him, it says, in the King James Version, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. In the Amplified, it says, standing immovably. What, standing immovably on what? On what God has said.
Yeah.
What Jesus said. On what he promised. I give you authority over to trample at serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. That means it doesn't matter what it is. Nothing shall by any means harm you. When you say status of that. So it is possible to have a sin-proof heart. You know why? Because God's word says it is. It's possible to have a sickness-proof, sickness-resistant body for one reason and one reason only. Because God's word says it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible to have a depression and oppression-proof mind. I mean, people have even written books about spiritual depression. Well, if it exists, I know what spirit it came from, and it wasn't the Holy One. People have tried to sanctify these things. Now, I'm not belittling anybody's experience of these things. That's, depression's a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, David said, he said, he's taken me out of the fearful pit.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken me. I mean, depression's sticky stuff. It doesn't want to let you go. It's trying to suck you under. But he says, he took me out of the miry clay.
Yeah.
He said, and he set my feet on a rock. What rock? The rock of the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is. That he is Lord of all glory. He is Lord of heaven and earth. And he's given us authority. And he said, he established my way. Amen. He set me in my course, in my direction. He said, this is the way, walk in it. Walk in the authority that I've created you to walk in. Hallelujah. You've been born from above now. You're not under anymore, you're over. You're not the head, you're not the tail, you're the head. You're not beneath anymore, you're above all the time. Hallelujah. It's possible to have recession-proof finances. Why? Because God's word says so. It's possible, and we need to hear this in these days, is it possible to have a divorce-proof marriage? You say, well, I've been divorced 3 times. Well, it's never going to be a 4th then, is it? Doesn't matter how many times that you might have failed before, that's not the issue. It's what's going to happen from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Next time that stuff starts to stir, stack this of that. I will not entertain even the thoughts of that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I will certainly not live in condemnation of what happened in the previously.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a stepping stone to where I am right now, and now I'm learned that I can say no. We can have strife-proof relationships. That's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's word says we can. Like I said, I mean, have you ever tried, you know what I mean? Have you ever tried it? Blessing those who curse you. It works.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they immediately respond. You know, I'm not saying that they instantly go, oh, well, that's nice. But there's nothing they can say. It stops it. I've been teaching this for years now. Someone phones you up, starts cussing you out. If you cuss them back, you know what happens? They go straight onto the phone, onto the next person. Do you know what they said to me? They don't say what they said to you, they just say what you said to them. And that person goes, "Whoa, that's terrible. Wait, I better go now." And they're on the phone. "Jimmy, I was here with so-and-so, said so-and-so." Supposed to be a pastor. Call himself a pastor. Call himself a Christian. You try, you'd let you, someone phones you up, starts giving you, and you say, "Well, hey, you know something? I love you. I think you're awesome. I'll tell you, man, there's just something about you. I think you're amazing." And they go, so that, and they slam the phone down and they phone up the next person. "You ever guess what they said to me? What did they say? They told me I was awesome." What's the matter with that? What have you done? You've just stopped that thing. You just stopped that thing. You can keep on fighting and arguing and cussing and clawing each other's eyes out, and that'll never end. But as soon as you take on board the authority we've been given to do what? To love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us and spitefully use. Come on. Turn, stops that thing. Boom. Stat is a fact. Hallelujah. It's possible to have a death-proof life. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil," because they ain't touching me. Amen. "I will walk right through it and back out the other side." You don't have to die to leave here, you know. Everyone, I mean, God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he does that because if he was to carry on, it would take a long time to tell you whoever came after him. So he's trying to get something through as he's saying, "Look, I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Therefore, I am the same God to everybody who comes after them." Mm-hmm. Amen. And every last one of them died. They took their heavenly departure by gathering their whole family around them, pulling their legs up into bed, laying hands on their sons and daughters, saying, "I'm out of here now."
Yeah. Yeah.
In Psalm 91, it calls it fullness of days, fullness of life. Length of days, long life and length of days. He will, come on. You don't have to, remember that lady that was here back, it was in the summertime, or just before the summertime from Florida with the prophet KK Chin, and she shared with Joyce, her name was, she said, God spoke to me through two, I think it was two or three different people, the same word. And the Lord said to her, "Joyce, you can live as long as you want. You can stay here on this earth as long as you want. When you're ready to go, just let me know.
Yeah.
And I'll arrange a few angels to come and carry you home." Not sure about that. He set a precedent. He said, "I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Go back and look how it was for them. Because how it was for them is not just how I want it for you, I want it even better for you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Come on now. Jesus laid down his life. Why did he have to do that? Because they couldn't take it from him. Like we read it this morning again, if the principalities and the powers and had known, the rulers of this world had known what they were doing, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They thought they were taking his life. No, he was laying it down.
Yeah.
And then he took it up again. And when he took it up again, he took us with him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because every one of us was already dead. So he entered into our death so that we could rise up with him and share in his resurrection and never taste death again. Never. We were the walking dead, the living dead. Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, but he made you alive. He quickened you. He raised you up. And where did he? And then he just left you wandering about and spend a few hard down years. Years down here getting bruised and battered. No, he says he took us all the way and sat us right down with him in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. We are over everything. Over everything. over everything. So that nothing shall by any means hurt us or harm us. Stat is that. Hallelujah. It's quite exciting, really. Anyway, we can have all of these things for one reason, and one reason is sufficient, and that is because our Father says so. That's all we need. His word is the final word. His word is the last word. His word is the last word on His good and acceptable and perfect will for our lives. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. You know, in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, in the New Living Translation, it says, He gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, religion came in there and even twisted that. And so you stand up behind in a place like this, where you go out there on the street, or you go to work tomorrow and you share with someone, you know that Jesus gave me authority so that I can say stop to everything that comes to harm me or to hurt me now. And you say, you're very proud. You say, no, I'm very humble. Do you not believe that? And they say, I certainly don't. You say, well, you're very proud.
Yeah.
I'm not. You're the one that's proud, because you're the one who wants to argue with God. I'm just agreeing with him. I'm accepting what he says. That's humility. Pride is when you start fussing and cussing and arguing and debating and looking for reasons why he wouldn't want to do what he said he would do. That's pride.
Yeah.
Humble yourselves before God. Say, thank you, Lord. I love it. Lay on me. Bring it on. Resist it. That's how you resist the devil. You just accept everything that God says.
Yeah.
And eventually he gets the message. He tries to find a way into your house and he discovers you've got the best security system ever invented.
Amen.
It's called the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's called the anointing. It's called the word. It's the force field of faith, the shield of faith. Come on. True humility is believing that what God says about you is truer than what you might think.
Yeah.
What God says about you is truer than what you've been told by somebody else. Doesn't matter who they were or how many layers they had after their name. It's truer than what you've been programmed with by religion. It's truer than how you feel. Oh, I don't know about that. You don't know how I feel. Yeah, thank the Lord for that. that's not being unsympathetic, but anyway, sympathy doesn't do nothing for anybody. There, that's as far as it goes. There, now I'm off. No, we need that force of compassion that Jesus was motivated by that actually brought change into people's lives. That left them better than when he found them. Different, changed. Living life at a much higher level. Restored to their original purpose. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. True humility is believing that what God says is truer than what you can see with your eyes, your natural eyes. You see, humbling yourself under the Bible says, because often it talks about, therefore humble yourself under God's mighty hand. And when you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he sets you over everything else. We thought that meant groveling around on the ground and eating the carpet and proving our humility. Some people even took to whipping themselves and all other kinds of crazy stuff. No, you can humble yourself under God's mighty hand, standing as tall as you are with your hands raised, saying thank you, thank you, thank you. That's called humbling yourself under God's mighty hand. And that sets you over everything else, so that nothing shall by any means harm you. Somebody help me. Stat is a bat. Stops it in its tracks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. An abundance, he gives an abundance of grace. The grace that we're saved by, the grace that we're healed by, the grace that we're delivered by. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says all of these things are the reality in our lives through faith, by simply believing. that he's provided everything to save me, to heal me, to deliver me, and he's given me authority so that nothing ever again shall by any means harm me. Hallelujah. Is anything hurting us tonight? Then we have the authority to say, stat isabat. Louder. Stat isabat. Who's been given that authority? He didn't give it to Benny Hinn so that he could say stat isabat over your life. He's given it to you. He gave it to me. He gave it to Benny for Benny. That's why Jesus, you know, what Jesus said, he said, hey guys, it's going to be better for you. The most ridiculous statement they probably ever heard, they're probably still scratching their head in heaven about that one. He said, it's going to be better for you guys when I leave. What? Like, how could it be better? Because we're in the middle of a storm in the sea, we're going down, and you stand up, well, I will wake you up. And you get up and you say stop to the storm. How could it be better? If you're not here, what happens the next time we're in a storm? I guess we'll just go down. But don't worry, we'll go to heaven. Yes, it'll be before our time. But they'll give us a nice send off. They'll sing our favourite hymns. Give us a break. Come on. He said it's going to be better for you when I go, because after I go, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to stand up in the boat and say, stat isabat. In fact, I was wondering why you didn't do it the last time. That's why I asked you. Where's your faith? Have you not learned anything yet? How long am I going to be with you? And you're not going to get it. That I came to show you what a man can do with the anointing. I stripped myself of everything that made me God, and I came down to show you what a man can do in relationship with God. Aligned with God. Taking his place of authority and dominion in the earth that he was created to occupy. Hallelujah. Stat is that. We are the ones who've been given that authority. That's what Jesus said. Remember one day he asked the guys around him, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? I go back to this over and over and again because it's still out there, you know, that kind of, that attitude, you know. It's easy to say, oh Lord, we're good at that, aren't we? You know, sometimes it's not more than charismatic aerobics, you know what I'm saying? No. At least we're getting a workout, eh? But he says, I mean, he's like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then not do what I say? Do you not understand that makes a nonsense of calling me Lord? And then he goes on and he talks about two men, and both of these men built a house. And in Scripture, the house of God is the church. No. Hallelujah. And it says, both of these men built a house. And one man built his house over the circumstances. And the other one built his house under the circumstances. And how these houses ended up was determined by what each man did with what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you hear what I say and you apply it, you'll be like a wise man who dug down deep, who built his house on the rock. When the storms came, when the floods arose, that house might have wobbled a little bit, but it stayed firm.
Right.
Hallelujah. It might have felt the impact of the storm. It might have felt everything beating against it, but it did not move. But he said, though, that the man who hears what I say, and then, see, the both men hear. They hear the same message, they listen to the same word, they respond in the same way, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Except one man hears it and does nothing with it. Or he picks and chooses what he's going to do something with. Or he takes some and does something with it, and then he leaves the rest. It's a fussy eater, you know. Jesus said, that man, he also builds a house. But he builds it on the sand. And he said, when the flood comes, when the winds come and the storm arises and the floods arise around that house is demolished. It collapses. And yet both heard the same things. both responded in different ways to what they heard. How they ended up was determined by what each man did with what Jesus said. I've said this over and over again, I'll say it again tonight. Neither house was storm free. People think because a storm shows up that maybe this stuff can't be true after all. You know, neither house was storm free, but one was storm proof. One was still standing after every storm.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And who's been given the right to choose? Us. We've been given the right. I can't choose for you. No preacher can choose for you. Kent Coleman can't choose for you. Kenny Hinn can't choose for you. Your favourite pitch, stick your favourite T.D. Jakes. Every other end of your life. Somebody I never heard of, stick his name in there. He can't choose for you. Somebody that you've been maybe drawing on your whole life. God bless them. Gifts to the body of Christ, but they can't choose for you. Not even God himself can choose for you. That's the truth. Now, I know they told us different. I know some of that Calvinistic stuff is still trying to pull on you. You know, whatever will be. Look what happened to Scotland when they sang that. We're going to the Argentina. We're coming back with our tail between our legs. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's the anthem of so many people who should know better. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus said, pray this way, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sin in heaven? No. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there recession in heaven? No. Is there strife in heaven? No. Is there divorce in heaven? No. None of these things. Is there death in heaven? Totally, absolutely not. So let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not whatever will be. It's a lie. Not even God himself can choose for us. Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, this command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It's not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us. Oh, someone needs to hear that. So we can hear it and obey. You know, anyway, you could preach off that, but anyway. Listen to what it says. No, the message. Say the message. What's the Lord been speaking to us now for years? I've not been building a ministry through you. I've been building a message in you and out of the message. Say the message. The ministry will come. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. He says, now listen. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death. Between prosperity and disaster. Do you know how many people given the choice between prosperity and disaster choose disaster? No, you can't trust that prosperity stuff. That's got to be the devil. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. And he goes on in verse 19, he says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life. Then he says, this is my heart. This is my desire. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. Now, this is old covenant. We have a new covenant established upon better promises. Amen. But it goes on and it says you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. And here they are, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham walked in the fullness of the blessing before there was any law. Was he perfect? No, we know he wasn't perfect. He wasn't averse to telling a lie to save his own skin. Did that alter things in his relationship with God? Did God say, Abraham, until you resolve this lying business, I'm not even going to come anywhere to help you? No, the guy that he lied to, God came after him with a vengeance. Yeah. Think about it. When was that? That was before the law. Who are we? The seed of Abraham. We're no longer under the law. Not any law. Not any kind of law. Not any manifestation of the law. None whatsoever. The law is gone and dead to us. Completely, utterly, totally. And people say, scary. Yeah, scary. Scary good.
Yeah.
Good scary. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Easy grace. Well, I'll have another helping. I believe if I eat any deadly thing, it will not harm me. I'll tell you, there's only one way to get hardening of the arteries. And that's to hear his voice and reject it. That's how you get hardening of the arteries. Not through your diet. Through hearing what God says and doing nothing with it. You want to keep your heart tender and healthy and whole, then hear what God says. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People say, cheap grace, cheap grace. If you can't put these two words together, if you had any understanding whatsoever of grace, you would never be able to put these. There's no such thing as cheap grace. Grace is one is the most expensive commodity in the universe. It cost everything to provide it, but it's been provided, and it's been provided free. Hallelujah. Love it. Amen. Glory to God. Only God's word, only the message can stop what is hurting us. In Romans 10 it says, the message. The message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. That if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because if he raised him from the dead, he raised you from the dead. And if he raised you from the dead, he took you where he is. Right at the right hand of the Father, and you're over everything. So there's nothing that can by any means harm you, so you're saved from everything.
Yeah.
Every part of you, spirit, soul, and body. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone, say everyone,
everyone,
who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the... whose tongue? Your tongue. My tongue. And that's right, when we exercise the authority we've been given, when we exercise the dominion that we've been given, when we exercise our right to say, stat is a fact, that authority, that statement is backed all the way to the Father's throne.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You're not just throwing empty words out there. When you take the authority you've been given and you take your possession and you stand firm on what God has said and you say, stat is a fact, that statement is backed up all the way to the Father's throne. And anybody who tries to get in between that and try and mess with that and try and alter that and try and argue against that, their arguments fall flat. You know, that's why the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits who are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Jesus said that there's rejoicing among the angels of heaven when one person who's been falling short of God's glory actually gets a handle on the truth. I tell you, when you say status of that, heaven hears. And angels are released on your behalf. You don't release them. God releases them. They're waiting. They're just waiting for your statement. And they act upon it. Hallelujah. Heaven hears when we say stop. It gets heaven's attention. When we make a decision, when we decide, this has to stop this or that. When we exercise our right to say stop, it automatically aligns us with the throne of God it automatically aligns us with our Father's good and acceptable and perfect will. And His will is that none perish, but that everybody's saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
The angels here, and they come and they're sent to minister on our behalf. Hallelujah. We have the authority to pray and invite heaven into the earth. You know that? We have that authority.
Yeah.
We have the authority to stand before the Father and say, Father, we need some of what's in heaven down here right now. And we need to expect that to happen. He's waiting for that invitation. He releases the angelic forces to come and minister that. Hallelujah. Come on. Remember what Jesus said? He said He could have called for 12 legions of angels and they'd have come. At any moment, He could have said, I don't know if I can go through with this. And He could have called for 12, and 12 legions of angels were just waiting. They were probably, they were on active alert. They were just there, red alert, standing by, just waiting. But He rejected that prayer so that that prayer could become ours. Come on. Come on. He resisted the temptation to pray that prayer so that we would have the right and the authority to pray. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your kingdom come. There's no sickness. There's no sin. There's no oppression. There's no lack. There's no breakdown. There's no death in the kingdom. That's why Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom. That's why He said, pray this way. Our Father, Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. James chapter 5 verse 16. We're just racing through this right now. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Of a what man?
Righteous.
Oh, well, we better try and get a bit more righteous then, boys.
Yeah.
No, that's who you are.
That's right.
The moment you are born again, declared righteous. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, it says in the Amplified Bible. Now, Old Covenant, Elijah prayed and the rain stopped. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still.
Yeah.
Why? Because he needed it to. That's powerful stuff. You have the right. Maybe tomorrow you'll need the sun to stand still. They're going to be here next week. They're going to be swarming across the island because there's going to be a solar eclipse. And this is one of the best places to see it from, apparently. Isn't it how they get so besotted with a couple of lights in the sky? Let's pray that those who come to witness these things, that they get a revelation of the Son of Righteousness.
Yes.
Who has arisen with healing in His wings. That the God who put these lights in place, hallelujah, longs to touch them, to have a relationship with them, to embrace them. Amen. If they're going to be here, that's the mission field coming to us. If you can't talk to them, tell them. Hallelujah. All the way through the Gospels, you hear Jesus exercising the authority to say stop. He said stop to sin. He said stop to sickness. He said stop to demonic oppression. He said stop to the weather. He said stop to the need to beg. He said stop to death itself. So just as we finish tonight, let me just ask again. Let's be honest tonight. Are we hurting? Is there any way we're hurting? How much do we want it to stop? That's about it. That's the bottom line. How much do we want it to stop? Because faith says, stop. Faith says, stat esavat. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. who does what? Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Come on. Delivers our lives from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed as the eagles. That's a storm-proof covenant right there. What do we have to do to activate it? Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, I just want to humble myself under your mighty hand. I want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you for the authority you've given me. And so, Father, excuse me a moment. I need to just say something. Stat is that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Storm-proof covenant. Forgiveness, healing, deliverance, prosperity, renewal, long, and not just a long life, but a lot. Sometimes you see on TV now, because people in this country are starting to live longer, but the quality of their life is atrocious. You know, it's not God's will just for people to live longer. No, we need to live a long and a strong life. We need to retain all of our faculties, all of our physical abilities, so we can, because Jesus said, I've come that you might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness. So we don't just want to see people medically, artificially kept alive longer. We want to see people living long and strong. And that's what that promises, so that your youth is renewed. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Lift your wings and you might take off. Hallelujah. Stat. Somebody help me. Stat is that. I don't know, maybe whatever it is tonight, maybe there's something right now that's been hurting you. And we just need to take hold of this. I said, I'm going to keep preaching this until everybody I know and everybody I don't know has got a hold of this, because if Jesus said it was possible, it's possible. Because with God, everything is possible and nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, you know, I've heard even Christians say, that's impossible. Well, yes, it is for you and me, but not with Him. He's the one who said it, and if He said it, He's the one who'll do it. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something tonight that's been gnawing at you, pulling at you, threatening you, intimidating you, saying, you might have beat me the last time, but I'm coming after you again. Well, you need to just turn to that thing right now and say, stat is that. We stop every thought, every negative thought, because every thieving attempt of the enemy begins with infiltrating our thinking. Mm-hmm. Trying to convince us we're vulnerable. We're not vulnerable. We're fully protected, fully armed, fully armored. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here tonight. I thank you that you've given us the authority to say, stat is that. Stop right now to anything that comes in any way to harm us, because you have given us authority. Authority to bring forth a testimony in the earth to your goodness, to your faithfulness. To bring forth a testimony that blesses the Lord, that declares into the earth, and let's just finish with this tonight together. The Lord is good. His love and His mercy endure forever, and His faithfulness continues to all generations. Amen. Stat esavat. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name.